Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local,
dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. That means it's time to talk with my good friend Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock here on Saturdays on News Radio, and also the founder and the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. And this segment is brought to you by Sunday Market on Palafox. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine every Sunday, downtown Pensacola from 11:30 to 3:30. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
So, Devil Wears Prada 2, how was it?
Yeah, so, you know, this is the this time the gang has to come together and hold a street dance competition to save the community. Oh, no, wait, that's Break Into Electric Boogaloo. I'm sorry.
But I would pay to watch that with these characters. Go on.
Very, very easy to get them confused.
Sure.
No, this is obviously, you know, the sequel to the big Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci film of, God, 20 years ago.
Good Lord, has it been 20? Wow, okay.
This, of course, brings Anne Hathaway's character back to Runway Magazine, which is, of course, you know, analog for Vogue. It's a light comedy, but it gets into weirdly a lot of like current issues in journalism and publishing and fashion, and the threat of AI taking over everything.
Interesting.
You get a little bit of that with your movie. Pretty good reviews, 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
that's good.
You know, the fans that have been clamoring for this should be happy with it.
Hokum is a horror movie with Adam Scott.
Yes, yeah. Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation and
lots of things.
Secession or is it Severance?
Severance.
Severance, yeah, I think you're right. At any rate, yeah, he played as an author, kind of, you know, like a Stephen King-ish kind of author who is staying in an inn that's supposedly haunted by a witch, and there's all these supernatural things going on. Very good reviews on this, 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Orwell comes to life through animation. Animal Farm with Jim Parsons?
Yeah, Jim Parsons, Seth Rogen's the circus, you know, which sounds like a good idea. Apparently not a very good idea. Apparently they changed the ending, which is weird because this is like an incredibly
classic,
timely novel,
yeah,
if you know the original novel. 29%.
Aaron Eckhart at 29%. Oof. Oh, I love George Orwell. Okay. Aaron Eckhart and Ben Kingsley in Deepwater. Oh, I think we found our culprit. Wait, are you there, Julio?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. Yeah, directed by Rennie Harlan, this is a film about a plane crash into shark-infested waters, and, you know, the captain and co-pilot trying to, you know, keep everybody alive as sharks are devouring the survivors of the plane crash.
Who hasn't had this happen to them, though, really?
Sounds incredibly hokey. Trailer looks incredibly hokey, but the reviews are pretty solid. 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. My handwriting is so bad for this one. I wrote it down. Rizzo, one spoon of chocolate. Is that right?
Rizza.
Oh, Rizza. Sorry.
Newly about to be inducted Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Rizza of the Wu-Tang Clan has a new film out. It's called One Spoon of Chocolate. It's kind of a blaxploitation throwback action film about a veteran and former convict who's trying to rebuild his life in a small town, and his people are disappearing off the streets, and he's trying to, you know, save everybody. Shanique Moore, and then the love interest in this, interestingly enough, is Paris Jackson, as in daughter of Michael. Not great reviews though.
And finally, That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, the movie, Tears of the Azure Sea.
Yeah, this is the other Devil Wears Prada too. No, no, this is obviously an anime. That time I got reincarnated as a slime is a very popular anime series. They've done a couple of spin-off films from it. It's one of those kind of if you know, you know kinds of things.
Yeah,
not a lot of reviews out there on it, but you know, the anime fans are going to be very excited about it.
What are you going to watch next week?
Not too sure yet, but as soon as we figure that out, we'll get that up on social media.
Excellent. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow him on Facebook, watch movies, and talk about him. Julio, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. 8:14, almost 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3. Find out why Anne Hathaway of the Devil Wears Prada 2 is loved, why she's getting the djembe drum of justice from Brother Andrew, and also what he thinks of Samuel Alito's decision for the Supreme Court. Coming up next in the Transgressors Memorial Service, PJ has traffic on the fives.
Service brought to you by ECUA. ECUA making service easier with the new MyECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Just one area to report on, and that is Burgess by West Florida High School. Seeing quite a bit of congestion out to Old Palafox. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Spend your Sunday in the heart of downtown Pensacola at the Sunday Market on Palafox. Every Sunday from 11:30 to 3:30, you'll find fresh local produce, handmade goods, art, and great food from Pensacola's own makers. It's the perfect stop after church or brunch, and a great way to support the small businesses that make our community special. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine. Every Sunday, downtown Pensacola.
Big renovation plans? Don't pay big prices. Now, Home Outlet in-store doorbuster deals are live. Save $2 a square foot on hybrid waterproof oak flooring. Now just $198. Interior door units, any size, starting at only $99. Or upgrade your bathroom vanity for just $219. Plus, deep savings on countertops, exterior doors, bathroom fixtures, and more. But hurry, these doorbuster deals won't last. In-store at Home Outlet Pensacola location only. Find us at homeoutlet.com.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the Pensacola Navy Days celebration, May 8th through the 10th, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the United States Supreme Court, and specifically for Samuel Alito, who wrote the atrociously misguided opinion in Louisiana versus Calais, which has gutted the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and may lead to a dramatic loss of Democrat seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. As many of you know, about a third of Louisiana is African American, which would make you think they would secure two of the six seats in the House. Unfortunately, these black Cajuns have made the mistake of living all over the state in and among the whites instead of segregating themselves into nice, simple, compact areas that would allow for them to have two congressional districts drawn neatly around them. Therefore, in order to get two representatives, the Louisiana legislature had to draw a completely crazy, tortured pair of districts that make no sense to anyone, except that they accomplished the goal of a racial gerrymander in favor of black voters. Well, the Supreme Court struck this down, basically by upholding the 15th Amendment, and now, all because these black Democrats dared to live in and among all the white people of Louisiana, failing to geographically coalesce their voting power, they will only have one or possibly zero districts when all is said and done. If they would have just stayed with their own, all of this would have been solved. Stupid desegregation. But the real problem is that this ruling makes it very hard to use race in drawing district by forcing states to make race-blind maps. Now, some of you might mistakenly think that a post-racial or colorblind society is exactly what we've been dreaming of. But you clearly haven't yet entered your 300-level training in woke principles. Yes, we like to say we are against racism, but it is absolutely vital that we keep using the tool of racial resentment and hostility to foster the social division and conflict with our candidates that they depend on for getting elected. Do you even realize just how much our programs depend on black people and white people not getting along? When 60 years of policies aimed at reducing racial division seem to only produce as much racial division as ever, perhaps you're finally realizing that racial division isn't some uncomfortable byproduct of our policies, but their intended purpose. So the reason we keep talking about race is because we need race as a motivating element in our politics. We must have racism to pretend to fight against it, which means we must always amplify the fear of racial disparity so we can justify policies that claim to fight the racism they depend on. It's like we all work for the SPLC. So even though this ruling technically expands the Voting Rights Act by finally validating the fact that maps may use race to fix past intentional racial oppression, it's very important publicly to talk about the ruling as if the court has attacked the Voting Rights Act. We need to use words like gutted, struck down, limited, eviscerated, or otherwise destroyed to amplify the emotion of our upside-down claim. The good news is that our allies in the traditional media have already been doing this for us since the ruling came out. All on their own. They've learned so well. The counterfactual race-based anger they're stirring up will do wonders for us in the November midterm elections. Now, I know, dear Otherin, you might hear someone say, but I thought we were trying to achieve a future in which people are judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin, referencing the famous quote by Martin Luther King Jr. No, this is exactly backwards. We literally want people judged by the color of their skin and not by the content of their character, since judging people by the content of their character is ableist, judgmental, and exclusivist. In other words, code for white supremacy culture. You see, when Dr. King used the phrase content of their character, he did so as a Baptist preacher who believed in Christian morality. As you well know, we do not believe in the traditional Christian values of faith in the God of the Bible, waiting until marriage to have sex, charity, humility, generosity, self-reliance, delayed gratification, and the Protestant work ethic. Besides, the ideas of merit, along with hard work, devotion, skill development, and natural aptitude, are not our virtues at all, because we think all people are equal. Not like made in the image of God equal, but deserving the same government-mandated slice of the pie, given to them on a totally merit-free basis. Dr. King wanted a world where people could work and produce and earn and save and be treated accordingly. In other words, he wanted ableism. And you all know we hate ableism. To each according to his needs, not according to his merit. So no, not only does this ruling make it even harder for us to have power through racial manipulation, it actually brings us closer to a future in which race doesn't matter, which we say we want, but secretly we dread. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Kaukab Shirani, a reporter at Deutsche Welle, the national German news service, for publishing a report entitled Burnout from Casual Sex Has Women Rethinking Hookup Culture. In the article, Shirani explains the results of a study in which women reported feeling disappointed with themselves after essentially using Tinder. One woman said she felt empty, sad, and temporarily empowered, but always craving more. She felt like she had to cut off a part of herself emotionally during and after one-night stands. As Shirani reported, this phenomenon is called post-coital dysphoria, PCD, and women suffering it say they desire easy sex but then feel used, depressed, unfulfilled, and emotionally numb afterwards. Men, of course, also sometimes experience PCD, but they seem to get over it much faster for whatever reason. I just don't know where to start with these reports. First, what a great world we live in where men and women can finally engage in the unencumbered free sex that we could only dream of in the 60s. Between contraception, pharmaceutical abortion, the internet and hookup apps, and an entertainment culture that never shows happily married people, the anti-marriage society has arrived. we have completely overcome the traditional model of waiting until marriage for sex and then having sex only inside the confines of lifelong commitment and for the purpose of having children. The sexual revolution is complete, but these women don't seem to be grateful at all for the liberation we've given them. I mean, it's certainly not the case that something deep inside every woman yearns for a permanent and safe relationship of unconditional love and trust with a husband who echoes the security of being loved completely by her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's ridiculous. In fact, women must overcome the primitive belief in monogamy and its unenlightened notions of security, commitment, and devotion, which some fools believe actually do the most to protect women from the sort of society ours has become. We've finally gotten to where women can be as selfish and depraved as men, and now the only thing left for them to do is just do it and lie to themselves afterwards that they enjoy it. If you can be just like men, then you can finally be women. So my advice to these women who claim to be suffering from PCD is simple. Woman up. Push through it. Get out there and throw yourself around so much that you can only guesstimate your body count. Only then, in the fully transcendent euphoria of utter debauchery, will things like a guilty conscience, personal unfulfillment, and regret at the ruination of your intended design leave you so that you can finally be a modern, independent, and liberated woman. Miserable? Sure. But if we learned anything from Sex and the City, it's that misery loves the company of friends who are just as miserable as you are. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our highest praise this week and the official djembe drum of justice with two rainbow streamers goes to actor Anne Hathaway for her outstanding efforts at body positivity and inclusivity in cinema during the filming of The Devil Wears Prada 2. As a note, I know some of you are still in the habit of calling female actors by the now outdated term actresses, since we did originally fight to have this separate designation in order to affirm females by making them different from men, but now in our most recent gender-free world, we have advanced backwards to calling all actors actors in an effort to affirm females by making them the same as men. I know it's hard to keep up, but you can do it. Portable diagrams of this reasoning process are available in the back, if you need them. Regardless, on the set of Prada 2, Anne Hathaway realized the fashion models being used as extras in one scene were all very thin, as is normal in the actual fashion industry. Upset by this overwhelming sense of realism, she suggested the producers that they replace these thin models with other, fluffier people who would look, you know, less like actual models.
That I thought the scene would be so much more enjoyable for the audience if we had just a wider range of bodies on display, because all different shapes are beautiful.
So many good notes here. Obviously, audiences really will enjoy looking at models who aren't as pleasant to look at, just not in the normal way people enjoy things they look at. Obviously, it will feel fake compared to the modeling world's actual practices, and also because, well, the plus-size, double-size, pear-shaped, or whatever alternative bodies are used will be less appealing to their eyes. But their dislike of the less model-like models will be replaced by the steady, smooth, relaxed pleasure of knowing they're supporting a virtue signal level 4. Their eyes may tell them the scene is uglier, but anti-reality training will kick in and provide the warmth that comes only from practicing double-plus ungood truth-speak. Now, it's true that some cretins have suggested that if Anne Hathaway were truly serious about changing the level of representation for beauty-challenged models, she could have encouraged the producers to find a less pretty actor than Anne Hathaway to perform the role. But obviously, the reason the super-thin and sexy Anne Hathaway can't be replaced is because you can only do so much at one time. And even though it might seem hypocritical to enjoy a career built largely on having a sex symbol, well, keep in mind that we never object to hypocrisy as long as it's being used to advance our agenda. It does raise another issue for us, though. As good as it is for Anne Hathaway to fire people who worked hard for a long time to craft their bodies into something the fashion industry rewarded and replace them with people who did not, we call that being inclusive, we see an even greater opportunity to advance the cause of equality and fight against the forces of ableism in the acting world. You see, in addition to being smoking hot, Anne Hathaway is also a highly skilled actor, talented at drama and comedy. But shouldn't we be working toward a world where people born with less acting talent can be just as successful at acting? A world where people who can't memorize lines, can't deliver them, don't emote well, have trouble pretending to be what they are not, or simply aren't funny or dramatic, can be actors too. Why should people who relate to audiences and make compelling theater get all the jobs? Or any of the jobs? Aren't people who can't act, whether they were born bad at it or never developed their talents, people who never worked at their craft at all, aren't they just as entitled to starring roles too? So although Anne Hathaway has made a good first step, we slap enthusiastically on our djembe drum in anticipation of a world where movies feature overweight models, homely leading ladies, badly written scripts, poorly lit stages and terribly edited scenes filled with people who can't act, like The Real Housewives or Saturday Night Live. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
829 News Radio 92.3, PJ is in for John this morning with traffic on the nines.
Traffic brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Take the next step forward in your career with Progressive Insurance. With great benefits and an award-winning workplace, apply at careers.progressive.com. Still just at one spot on the board, Burgess by West Florida High School. Seeing quite a bit of congestion as the kiddos are being dropped off. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Oh, I like kiddos. Yeah, that's what we call our, my mom called me that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The shooting suspect at the White House Correspondents' Dinner will remain in jail for now. On Thursday, Cole Allen waived his right to a challenge, being detained before his trial. Defense attorneys had argued in favor of Allen walking free. And, well, here's a surprise. A new analysis says CEOs make more money than workers. The new study found salaries for chief executives.
Good research money if you can get it.
The new study found salaries for chief executives rose 20 times faster last year than pay for workers around the world.
No way.
I'm shocked.
All right. And KelaFest.com, but I'm sure that's for 10 o'clock today for the amphitheater, 10 o'clock tomorrow for Inside the Stadium, but I know David will have more details in about a minute.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump talking retirement in Florida, expanding workers' retirement benefits as he visits the villages later today. Workers facing another 9-cent jump in the price of gas overnight on day 60 of the Iran military action.
President Trump has insisted for weeks the increase in gas prices is short-lived and worth the cost.
And we're not going to have a nuclear weapon in the hands of Iran.
Even during a weeks-long ceasefire, Iran has blocked ships from transiting the Strait of Hormuz as a U.S. naval blockade prevents tankers from leaving Iranian ports.
Fox's Jared Halpern. U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro released new video of the D.C. Hilton shooting suspect, which she says shows that Cole Allen shot the Secret Service agent on the way to the president.
You've got Cole Allen going there shooting off one round.
Point blank, says Secret Service, the California engineer jailed pending trial for attempted assassination. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got cloudy skies. It's 71 degrees. We're going to look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, the city of Pensacola requesting $50,000 from the TDC to help pull off Wednesday's Keela Richardson homecoming concert. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the investment is a bargain compared to what the exposure on national TV would be worth.
When you talk about a commercial on the finale of American Idol costs $750,000, I think to get a four-minute run to the entire world on what a great city and what a great community this is priceless. And so, I mean, that is a fraction of the cost that something like this would normally be to shine such an amazing light on the city. So,
and Mayor Reeves said the event budget would cover staging, security, police, and fire costs. The city working with Visit Pensacola, Escambia County, the Sheriff's Department, Blue Wahoos, all his partners. And that concert being planned at the Hunter Amphitheater, that's behind Maritime Park. And, of course, if Keela makes the top three on Monday. And tickets do go on sale this morning. You can get those online at KeelaFest.com. That's KeelaFest.com. And those go on. They'll be free tickets. You have to get them on the website. And that is at 10 o'clock this morning. An 18-year-old Louisiana man facing multiple charges after fleeing from deputies, then crashing into another vehicle on Thursday. The Florida Highway Patrol says Peyton Jackson of Darrow, Louisiana, fled a traffic stop for an expired tag, then hit a white Hyundai near Mobile Highway and Massachusetts Avenue. Jackson was located and arrested near the scene of that crash. He faces charges of fleeing and eluding, hit and run, and driving without a valid license. And no injuries were reported in the crash. A crew of 25 men and women, 17 of them military veterans, are planning to row a replica Viking ship from Denmark all the way to Pensacola next year. The group is hoping to sail the same route once taken by Eric the Red, which would set a world record. The 50-foot open-deck ship is being built in Denmark using traditional Viking building techniques. The crew is expecting brutal conditions, including cold ocean water with no engine, just oars, once they arrive in Pensacola. The group then is hoping to build a working replica medieval Viking village. The voyage is also aimed at improving mental health for veterans. The crew is trying to raise $2 million to fund this expedition. Escambia County has now deployed more than 380 tons of concrete from the old Pensacola Bay Fishing Bridge to create a new artificial reef. 46 pieces of concrete from the bridge, which was damaged in Hurricane Sally, were placed, and this was about 5 nautical miles to the southeast of Pensacola Pass in 43 feet of water. County officials say the concrete will provide habitat for snapper, grouper, and triggerfish, and serve as a spawning site for Gulf flounder. The site is also open for divers to explore. It's 8:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thanks, David. Traffic's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Taking a look at the big board here, we have a vehicle crash west Kingsfield Road at County Road 297A. They're saying there's no roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash North Navy Boulevard at North Kennington Drive. Roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And now our Channel 3 forecast.
Rain continues to wrap up the week. Temperatures will be on the cooler side with that rain in the forecast. Temperatures only topping out in the upper 60s and low 70s this afternoon. Rain will become heavier as the day goes on, really picking up overnight and into early Saturday morning. But it moves out of here, leaving us with drier weather going into Saturday afternoon as well as Sunday. I'm meteorologist Marianne Caldwell. We are WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
We've got 70 degrees with cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. And your money now this hour. Markets at the opening bell are up. The Dow's up 227.5 points at 49,879.60. S&P up just over 0.5% at 72,48.47. NASDAQ up 159 points, 25,51.36. And that's up over 0.5% as well this morning. 10-year bond rate is up at just a bit at 4.39% this morning. Oil prices today are down about 2%, $102.91 a barrel. Gold is down 27.10, $46.02.50. Silver, though, up $1.16 at $75.18. And Bitcoin today up over 2,000 at 78,438.21. Republican attorneys general are now joining an antitrust lawsuit aimed at blocking the merger of two major TV station companies. California Attorney General Rob Bonta said on Thursday that five more states have joined a federal lawsuit blocking the merger of Tegna and Nexstar, including the Republican AGs of Kansas and Indiana, which makes it a bipartisan effort. There's now 13 states represented in the lawsuit, which would stop the companies from owning 264 TV stations across the U.S. The Trump administration is urging other countries to form a coalition with the U.S. to help reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
An internal State Department cable sent to U.S. diplomats around the world this week said the coalition called the Maritime Freedom Construct would help coordinate diplomatic efforts, be aligned on sanctions, and share information to help with safe transit through the waterway south of Iran. It called on diplomats to ask for partner participation by Friday. Yesterday, the UN Secretary General said disruptions to the global energy supply caused by the Strait's closure grow worse with each passing hour. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
President Trump says he's removing tariffs on Scotch whiskey in honor of the King and Queen. The announcement capped off King Charles and Queen Camilla's four-day trip to the U.S. The president making that announcement on Truth Social Thursday. The president says that it will strengthen the relationship between Scottish and Kentucky bourbon distillers who've been lobbying the administration to eliminate the 10% tariff on whiskey for several months. 8:38, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump! Jump, 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 jump!
I said a hip, hop, the hip, it, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
It's the wrap. It's a chance for us to talk over the issues of the week or whatever happens to come up with friends I have in studio. Today I have Craig Heinzman. He is the community outreach pastor for Marcus Point Baptist Church or something similar to that in content, if not exactly identical with that in verbiage.
We'll take it. I'll take it.
All right. And Jewel Canada Wynn, who is emerita, right? Council, City, Pensacola City Council emerita. But apparently, if Sherry Myers is to believe, that does not mean you can't run again.
I don't know what's going on. I could just...
You can do your 12, take a break, come on back. Boomerang council members. I mean, Charles Baird did it, right? He went from, you know, being at large, so now he's District 2, and, I mean, anything can happen. John Gerald did it, right? So, you could come back?
No.
Is this an opportunity for you to announce your candidacy?
No.
Okay. You want to tell us anything?
No.
No, it's not funny. Right, it's now. Funny. Jewel, of course, was a teacher for a long time. I knew her as a city councilwoman. Then she was part of the show when we were in the DNC, you know, and because she was a voting member, you know, representatives, a delegate, whatever word is the appropriate word that I can't think of at the moment. Anyway, probably the biggest story this week, apart from Keela Richardson, which we'll get to, that's a huge story. But the biggest story for Florida, for the nation, for the Southeast, for good Lord, is two things, which are very closely connected but not the same. One is the Supreme Court decision in Louisiana versus Calais, which said that you cannot racially gerrymander districts. That is unconstitutional violation of the 15th Amendment unless you are remedying past racial injustice in the way district boundaries have been drawn. You can fix them, but you cannot make it in order to get, for example, majority black districts. And then, of course, in Florida, the decision to redraw the districts midterm, mid-decade, in order to, depending on who you ask, either, you know, fix the racial lines that were misdrawn before or accommodate for, you know, increases in population, which have caused a disparate impact on different districts, you know, to fix the race or the population, or if you prefer the other side, to advantage the Republicans as a result of everything that's going on in the nationals. So lots of stuff to talk about here. Let's start with the Florida side. Jewel, your thoughts about the Florida decision to redistrict and how they did it.
The Florida, you know, from my interpretation, this is totally against the 2010 amendment that we voted. The citizens voted.
The Voting Rights Act. Voting Rights Amendment, the VRA.
The VRA.
Fair District Amendment.
It's the Fair District Amendment that we voted for by 63%.
Yep.
In 2010. It goes totally against it. This is the direct, to me, from the national, wanting to get more Republican seats in our U.S. Congress, because this impacts the U.S. Congress here. And so I really think that this is totally blatant ignoring what the voters say. And there's a pattern of that here in our country. Now, 250
like restoration
years.
Of felon rights, for example, another example of slow dragging.
So we're here getting ready to celebrate 250 years of the U.S., the country, and yet we still struggle with the issue of equality. We still struggle seriously with these issues, and yet we should be celebrating the concept of equality, the right to vote, every vote counts equally. But that's not where we are as a country. And as long as we do not acknowledge what has been going on in our country, then we continue to have these political battles that shouldn't even be political battles. This should not be a political battle. But, of course, in Florida, we have had these political battles for over a long, long time, even before the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And so this is not something new. This is not something surprising. But this is totally a political power grab. What always ignites everything is done by race. It is done by race. And so that is where we are. I don't see no one going over into the predominantly white Republican area and say, oh, your population has just grown so much. And so since your population has outgrown and there's an imbalance in your district versus another district, then we are going to just redistrict this so it will make it more fair. No, that's not what's happening.
Well, I mean, I kind of go back with you. The process, am I happy with how it's been played out? Absolutely not.
The quickness of it?
What's the quickness of the process?
I hate it. It's way too fast.
It's just fast. It's does it have to get done? Mid-decade redistricting because of population growth, I definitely think has to happen. We have seen a profound number of people moving to this area, to Florida. And if we don't correctly balance those things, You're going to have problems. Now,
the population increase justifies a redistricting, correct. But does it justify this redistricting?
Now, can you say it's not political?
No.
There's no way.
You can't.
You can't.
It's not.
Now, it's the Hunger Games, and I hate to say it like that, but politics is the Hunger Games. May the odds be ever in your favor, right? That's the balance. So you have the redistricting that's happening in other states as an answer to the it's this domino effect, like Texas is going to do it, so we're going to do it in Virginia, and then we're going to do it in California, and then now we're going to do it in Florida because we got to balance out what they just did.
And Illinois had already done it for years.
And Illinois, yeah. And some of the maps you look at are
insane.
Asinine.
Yeah,
they are completely ridiculous. The fact that we draw these maps and they get away from the party because it's honestly two parties battling it out to see who can have the odds in their favor. Just who gets control to draw the maps at the time they get to draw the maps? And then we're going to redraw the maps when the next people get it. It's just, there's got to be a way to balance it to where the vote is the vote, the people are the people, and they get to choose. And it should be representative of the population size.
Well, the whole point of a democracy, like the whole point of running elections where you pick elected leaders or however, whatever style of democracy you have, the whole point is we do this instead of fighting. And instead of fighting, we say, like, if our 12,000 went against your 10,000, we'd win. So let's not actually have the war and all the death and comes from that. Let's just, say our numbers are greater than yours. And so we're going to do it this way. But that system, people have to believe in that system. And if they perceive that system is failing them, is not providing for better securing of their rights, unfairly violating them or making them feel like they don't have appropriate representation, we staged a revolution over that. And so if people don't believe the system is fair, then they will not accept the outcome of that decision or that system. And at some point, they're not going to keep taking it, which is why I think that if you're engaging in power politics, you can get away with it for a while. But at some point, enough people get frustrated and they see it that so long term, you should be fair because being fair is what keeps everybody
you're
buying
seeing
into the system.
The extremes on both sides right now.
Yep.
That's the extreme
right.
Left and extreme right are all talking about how, elections are bogus. We should, get violent. Yep. When you see all the stuff that goes on, when that comes about.
Now,
hang on for just a second, Jewel. Let's get a quick traffic break. PJ.
Travis brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola. Bathroom upgrades for every budget, plus savings on kitchens, flooring, and more. Home Outlet in Pensacola. Taking a look at the big board here, we have a vehicle crash, West Kingsfield Road at County Road 297A. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash, North Navy Boulevard at Kennington Drive. Roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, go ahead, PJ. Go ahead, Jewel. You're going
to
respond.
There are rules to redistricting.
Yep.
But when you have leaders. Now, Florida did not ask the citizens of Florida about midterm redistricting.
Oh, no, this came entirely from the governor's office.
It was totally by the governor.
Right.
There are rules, and normally people can go and get these. I think it's the National Coalition of state legislature.
Rules about compactness, geographic distance.
So there are rules. But when you want to do a power grab, you don't care about the rules. And for the last 18 months or so, people have not cared about the rules. They ignored them.
I don't know what you mean. It's not like Governor DeSantis would appoint people to the board of trustees and then have those people not get approved and then
and
still appoint them to the board.
So we have a pattern here. Yep. This is a pattern, and race has been played in our country with this because it's the one that has caused a lot of disenfranchisement mm-hmm. from its history. Again, 250 years, and we're still talking about people feeling like their vote is not going to count, that their vote is not important, and being disenfranchised 250 years of this nonsense. When you have rules, you set rules, mm-hmm. but yet again, I agree that the people who are in power wants to change the rules and without coming to the voters. I mean, the voters of Florida spoke as to how they want. You could not create a district based on political preferences as well as trying to get rid of your opponent or whatever.
And I see that, you know, and the nod to the special election in California, the special referendum to for redistricting in California that passed, again, barely. But I look at California as an example of again, the opposite side of redistricting that goes to an extreme. You've got a state that could possibly, it's very likely that there's a governor coming in that could be Republican.
Because of the crazy primary system, the general
vote is that they could have a Republican governor, but no ability to have a Republican representative in Congress because of the maps, because of the way it's drawn. Mm-hmm. And I look at stuff like that, and again, that is on one side of the aisle. There are examples on the other side of that aisle, but that right there goes, okay, that shouldn't happen. Whether we like it or not, this is how I look at it. Whether we like it or not, voting is representative of the people that are there. So if you're seeing, you know, 38%, Democratic, independent, you know, then there should be at least some a resemblance to that within your legislature.
Yeah, it's a really like drawing maps is actually way harder than it seems.
Yeah, it is.
But because of population mixture, you know, is always the challenge, right? If you have 80% of the residents of a certain geographic area, typically urban areas, are, you know, Democrat voters, they're going to kind of squander their majority in what would be the natural districts because they're way over 50% in order to win it. But yeah, no, this clearly to me is a political map. It is clearly drawn to gain partisan advantage. And I agree with you, Jewel, that it's a violation of the spirit of the FDA, of the Fair Districts Amendment. Now, DeSantis's argument is, look, because the Supreme Court has now told us we cannot redistrict on the basis of race, pro or con, the Fair District Amendment goes away in its entirety, and I'm no longer obligated not to be partisan in my gerrymandering. Even if it's not a legal requirement, it's a moral obligation. But I've said this on the air, he's responding, or I think Florida is responding to all of the immoral redistricting that have been done in all the other places. And I don't know how to solve that. Because
I wanted to make one point here. We go to California. Now, before Texas, before our president said that he wanted X number of seats, people, what's going on here? I mean,
you had a weird, uncomfortable status quo.
Again, you could have waited for another 4 years. I mean, we're getting ready to have a census. You could wait for another 4 years and just deal with these issues in a discussion, in a debate, in a determination of what categories or criteria you're going to use.
Totally
but
agree.
That's not what happened. So now you find yourself trying to figure out, okay, how do we respond?
Right.
And so when you get into these political battles, you respond in similar fashion. This was not something that the Democrats initiated to redistrict to get more people. I mean, we were already at trying to make sure that we get people out to vote. Mm-hmm. So this was initiated. And so other Republican states were interested in it. And so now you have the Democrats who are governors. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find ways in which both parties and with their voters need to come together to see if they want to follow any particular rules. Because no, right I, now, I no, one yeah. Is, yeah. no one is following the rule. And now what we're going to see is we as voters, we have to stand up and say we don't like the direction in which you're going. We do not want the 1,800 congressional group of people in the 1800s. That's not what we want. We need to be celebrating a country of 250 years that have moved beyond some of these issues of power struggles. But you're not going to do it when people want to do it. And that is my particular concern.
I almost think we could, you know, it's not too rushed to imagine that we could do a revised fair district amendment that would delete the racial element and just have the political and incumbent protection. And I think that would probably pass by like 80%. You could do it this year.
Probably.
If they were willing.
I do think that. And I think that there's the will of the majority of American people, again, notwithstanding the far left and the far right, those of us that would be, we don't even guess centrist would be the word now that I guess that we would use, but I don't even think just common
just
sense.
Just being an ordinary Republican or a Democrat like, makes you an outlier
we understand,
in your own party
we
these
understand
days.
That, right. that mm-hmm. it's... That we want, I want fair elections, and I want a clean, you know, bout, right?
Right.
I want a clean fight.
Well, I want a representative government. I want a government that genuinely represents us, black, white, atheist, Christian, conservative, liberal. I want the other side. Like
values also count in here, but right? I wanted to remind you that. You will, in America, you will never be able to take out race when you want to eliminate a racial group from having voting power. And I'm sorry, that's just how it is. It's always going to be an issue. I want to bring it back to 1992 in the state of Florida.
We have to talk about Escambia and Pensacola.
In 1992.
Actually, hang on. Let me get PJ quick traffic. Go ahead, PJ.
Still working the vehicle crash. West Kingsfield Road at County Road 297A. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Jewel Canada win 1992.
And so even if you took race out and used that one of the criterias is neighborhoods.
Okay.
If you just took race out and didn't say anything about race. If you just did neighborhoods. What happened in 1992? In 1992, we had three state legislative districts in Escambia County.
Okay.
So, because of population, Northwest Florida was not growing. And so, therefore, it was losing population, and we had to eliminate a district. So what do? They eliminate the predominantly African-American District 3. So, okay, you're going to eliminate that. But what else did they do? They took the number one African-American polling, the largest black voting block in Escambia County, and split it. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if it's not about race, then why would they split this neighborhood and put half in one district, one, the other in district, two, and then, on top of that, bring Gulf Breeze proper into the mix, because that was not like that before 1992. It is disingenuous for our legislators not to talk about these issues up front and frankly. Because even though they say, I'm not going to be right, yes, it does, because they're looking at who votes for what issue, how is going to vote. If you want to deal with poverty programs, if you want to deal with equality, if you want to deal with LGBT issues, normally these issues will drive that. And for us to say, or for me to say that race is not going to play a part, if race and the consider our race, how we vote as individuals, go to a particular value that is not our particular value, we're going to have a problem. And I know one of the ways that we can address this is about eliminating us being a closed primary state.
Oh, no, I completely agree with that, too.
We
that's
eliminate
own,
being yeah. a closed primary state.
We only have, like, 2 minutes, but I do want to touch on the Escambia County issue. And also Pensacola City, right? Well, I mean, city councils, districts 5, 6, and 7 were drawn to be majority-minority, which 6 is not anymore. 7 might not be anymore. District 3 in Escambia County. I hate that I don't have much say or any say in my district that I live in, District 3, but the idea of having 5 white commissioners, that terrifies me too. There should at least be one, or at least a good chance of having one, but I hate seeing the districts drawn for race. I mean, just for representation's sake, the population of black Escambians and Pensacola City, you should have representation. Otherwise, it looks wrong.
Overcorrection, in no matter what you do, and no matter what the reason you do it for, is going to cause problems, period. And the other thing about drawing districts based on race is that, as we've seen, that metric changes out of district, in district. The bar always moves. That's number one. But number two is the assumption that someone's race determines their political values.
Also,
you know, in South Florida, you see that, you know, all of a sudden now the Hispanic population is no longer a strong Democrat. Now it's leaning Republican.
Heavily
now,
wait Republican, a second. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then now is their race that important? Well, what's important?
Right.
Like, that's the problem. It's only important if it,
and
if
people
it
move
plays
and people
to our
move
side
in,
or it doesn't. Yep. It's not important when it's not playing to our side and people move in and out of certain areas. So I think the problem of we're just going to try to draw it for and because of race creates a multitude of issues.
Yeah.
Because, again, kind of back to what Jewel was saying.
We are totally out of time. Jewel Canada win. Craig Heisman, thank you for joining me. That's why I wanted to have you guys in here, because I knew we'd get a robust discussion. It's not easy to draw maps well. It is apparently very easy to draw maps badly or for political gain or racial purposes. We can do better, and we need to figure out a way to do better. I think that's the baseline. We need to do better.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM.